Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Alongside nobody tonight, I'm just here by myself this evening. We are Starcastic Remarks, the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. Go and use that promo code THPN the next time you are there. Guys, this was a game tonight. That's about it. Especially after that game against the Colorado Avalanche, that was such an emotional high that this game was kind of hard to get up to. But nonetheless, the Dallas Stars take care of business against the Buffalo Sabres and continue to dominate them since 1999 by winning 3-2 over Tage Thompson and his team there. So lots of things to talk about here in tonight's game. Not too many, to be completely honest with you. But we're just going to get straight into this and discuss this game. So first thing that a lot of people were kind of talking about that I saw on X was why Miro Heiskanen was kind of thrown out, which is surprising. It was very surprising. I think the only reason was it was because his glove went into the crowd. I think he threw his stuff down in disgust because he didn't like the call and everything like that. But anyway, I think that's why he was sent off. I think it's like an automatic thing. I don't think it was necessarily anything specific in what he said. Although he might have let the refs kind of have it once he found out that he was going to be done for the night. But nonetheless, he did get the misconduct there to be sent out of the game. But I was honestly really surprised with the fact that that was the first game misconduct for anybody on the Dallas Stars this season. That would be a really interesting stat to know. How many teams don't have a player who got a game misconduct this season? That would be really interesting. I can imagine that we weren't the only one going into the game tonight here, but I would suspect there's still a couple of other teams that were like that. Biggest thing that kind of happened tonight, other than the Stars getting the win in tonight's game, is the fact that the Rangers, and I'm not talking about the Texas Rangers, I'm talking about the New York Rangers, who are currently leading the NHL, lost a game tonight that they probably should have won. And it's kind of nice to know that the Stars still have an opportunity to go after the President's Trophy. It's very unlikely at this point. And I'll go ahead and bring up his comment because he was the one, and I'll give him credit for it. Zachary, right off the bat, before we even went live here, Stars would have to win their three remaining games, and Rangers would have to lose two of their three remaining games for it to happen. So to be completely frank with you, I don't even know who the Rangers play over the last couple of games here. So, let's see. Tonight they lost to the Islanders. That's actually not as surprising because the Islanders are kind of rounding into form here. And, you know, it's the two New York teams. So I don't think it's necessarily such a bad thing that happened. But I'm trying, guys. I'm looking. All right. I believe they play again on Thursday against the Flyers, which that doesn't seem likely that they would lose that one, considering the Flyers are 1-6-3 in their last 10 and have dramatically dropped out of the playoff race after being in the playoff race for most of the year. Then they have, let's see, nothing on Saturday. I'm kind of going game by game here, guys. Sorry. Well, I'm just going to leave it at that. At very least, they have the Flyers, which that's not a game they should lose. But, I mean, you never say never, because the Stars have been 10-1 in their last 11. And the one game they lost to the Chicago Blackhawks. So, you never know. You never know. So, anyways, for the rest of this game today, just the general feelings of how I felt about this game, and then I'll get into some of my notes that I took since nobody else is here to help me out that day. They just didn't get going early on in the game. The Buffalo Sabres were obviously the better team. They were on their toes to start the game. And Dallas really didn't get it going. And honestly, I thought they were lucky with the two goals that they scored. Well, the one goal that they scored, the second goal they thought they scored. But just to even get on the board, I thought they were lucky. They got the goal from Robo to kind of tie it at one. And it was Tuck who opened the scoring. And I don't want to say it was a lucky shot, because he was in the slot. That's where you go to score goals. And the Robo tip was just kind of against the flow of play, I felt like. So I felt it was very lucky. And then even the Maitsman Markman tip that ultimately would not count, I thought that was a lucky goal as well. Again, this back-to-back against completely against the flow of play. And I didn't think that the Stars deserved to even have a 2-1 lead when it looked like they were going to have that 2-1 lead. But then Darlene would score from the boards, and that's one that Otter wants back. And, you know, I saw some people kind of giving him crap for it. But again, guys, like, especially after we lost to the Chicago Blackhawks, there was a lot of fans that were really ragging on the Stars. Those same fans were not doing the same thing when the Stars won against the Colorado Avalanche the next night. So, dude, just give them a break a little bit every once in a while. They're allowed to have, you know, bad plays in the game every once in a while. So, and especially with Ottinger, who after that second goal went in, he was ridiculous. He was very solid, and he was didn't allow another one, and made some very key saves down the stretch, especially there in the third period, as the Stars were trying to kind of make sure that nothing else was going to go in. But anyway, Foxa had a centering, was not able to get to it after Steele tried to center a pass there. And, you know, I'll give Buffalo some credit here. They're looking for a playoff spot. They're not currently in the playoffs, but they wanted it. They wanted to win this game, and they were really trying to make sure that they used their speed to give Dallas some issues there. So, and again, Dallas had their chances after that goal that they scored. They played a lot better after the Robertson goal, but there was a pass that was just out of Sagan's reach that would have been a major chance. Robo had a shot that missed off the rush. And, you know, let me stop here for a second while I'm thinking about it. Robertson has been showing kind of a little bit of his gritty side, especially this last month, which is, yes, let's see more of that, Robertson. That's not something we would ever see from him last season or even the season before. So seriously, that was great to see him kind of, you know, get hacked off a little bit and just kind of see him push back a little bit. And secretly, like we mentioned the last couple of weeks, he's been secretly having a good season. Anyways, so yeah, speaking of that, Darlene pulled off Robo's helmet, and that's kind of why he got a little bit into that with Darlene there. Tanev has been excellent as well. He had a chance with about 4 minutes remaining, and it was really fun to that Connor Clifton oopsie daisy, as I wrote in my notes here. That was it was really funny. I can't remember who it was. Oh, it's gonna bug me. It was someone in the rookie season. It might have been Connor Bedard this season, where he had that really weird like slip thing. I couldn't figure out what it was, but it was hilarious. And anyway, Clifton there with the oopsie daisy. And Essa missed the net on a prime slot chance. So that was when Dallas is down 2-1. And at this point, Dallas is fully pressing there towards the end of the period. Harley fans at the blue line, and Miro makes a really good D play to kind of cover for that mistake there by Harley. Period is ending. Owen Power gets a shot off the rush and or off the faceoff, excuse me, and hits the post. So there, it was a good period overall from an entertainment perspective, but it was a weird opening period for the Stars and not a very good one. So the only other thing I wrote was Otter was really going to want that second goal back. So anyways, moving on to the second period. They weren't really getting cleanly into the Buffalo zone, the Stars were. And Buffalo was doing a really good job at getting stick into lanes. But as we saw through the duration of that second period, it was just a constant press and press and press by each of the four lines of the Dallas Stars. And it slowly, it was just started to become too much for the Buffalo Sabres. And it would lead to Pavelski with a ridiculous tip, man. That was such a beautiful tip from the Tanev point shot. And it was all due to a really good cycle play by that top line, who, again, they've been playing excellent. Not as excellent as they've been in the last couple of seasons, but they haven't needed to be that ridiculous, you know, top line where like 40% of the offense is coming from them. We haven't needed that from them this season because of the depth that the Stars have and the ridiculousness that the Stars have. Duchesne would have a shot off the rush after that goal. Dallas would go on the penalty kill. Smith for tripping. He kind of wiped out as he was doing it. It was kind of a second effort play. So kind of an unlucky, but yeah, it was a penalty kind of thing. Harley had a big shot block during that penalty kill. Skinner would have a chance as the penalty kill was being killed off in the dying seconds of it. Jost would get in the way of a Mason Marchment rush with Duchesne, so a good play by Jost there. Dallas would go on the power play, Tuck hooking on Johnston. Johnston, that wouldn't be the first time he would do that in this game. Pavelski, of course, has another tip chance, but Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, try and say that 10 times fast. It's one of the greatest things to say name-wise. I love saying that name. And then literally about a minute and a half later, he would have a chance in the slot as the power play was expiring. He gets denied there. And then going the other way, 4.5 minutes remaining in the second period, Otter with some really good saves on J.J. Paterka, who quietly is having a really good season for the Buffalo Sabres. He's one of my favorite players to watch that's not on the Dallas Stars, by the way. Interesting nugget there. And it wasn't just one opportunity that Paterka had. He had several opportunities there after Dallas had a really bad turnover at their own blue line. So, and that turnover was actually by Ben, and it was Thompson who was pressuring Ben to give the puck up there. So it looked like the Sabres tied the game at 3, but that wouldn't be the case. It looked like Quinn would score, but dude, there was a missed high stick there. It was pretty obvious. It didn't take long for Dallas to challenge it, and it didn't take long for the refs to go up there. And shout out to the refs and the crowd there. That was pretty funny. I love seeing that. Dallas was getting a little lazy there towards the end of the second period with their puck management like they were early in the first period. So I didn't like to see that. But they take the lead going into the second intermission. And the only big note that I had from the second period was this. And it's not the only thing. It's not the only time Pete DeBoer has done this, but looks like Pete DeBoer has been really experimenting with the different D pairings. So I don't know if this is because he doesn't fully trust Nils Lundqvist, and Nils Lundqvist is still not getting a lot of time on ice, which I don't know how much time on ice he had. I'll look that up while I'm still talking here. But we saw some interesting pairings. We saw kind of Miro with Tanev, and we saw Tanev with Harley even at some points, and Lindell was with Miro at some points as well. So, I mean, I don't know the reason behind it and why he was doing that, but the only thing I could basically think of is that he's just experimenting just to see if something is not working in the playoffs. What could he do really quickly to try and glaze over some of the mediocrity of that top six if it's getting rough against a certain team? And, you know, maybe mixing it up in the playoffs kind of helps them get going if they're doing really bad. I don't know. But that was the only thing I could think of as to why he was doing that. So, but let me see here. Time on ice for Nils Lundqvist. I'm assuming he had the lowest time on ice for anybody other than maybe the fourth line. Yeah, only played 9.5 minutes tonight. So, seriously, maybe that's it. He had a little bit more than last night. However, we expected to kind of see Yanni Hakanpää at this point. So I don't know if they were willing to give Nils Lundqvist a second chance, and that's why he was still in the lineup, or if Yanni Hakanpää is still just not ready to go and they're just holding him out for the playoffs. If they're just holding him, if they're just holding him out, I just don't think that's a smart idea. If you're going to take Nils out and throw Yanni Hakanpää in there, I mean, you don't want to throw a guy straight into the playoffs without any kind of, you know, conditioning to kind of get his game back. So if he is healthy and Yanni is ready to go, expect to see him maybe Thursday or even in the remaining two games after that to see if he is going to be on that third pairing with Ryan Suter, who, by the way, Ryan Suter has been playing excellent down the stretch here to end the season. Hey guys, it's Ryan here. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Here's some odds for you for the Rocket Richard Trophy, which is the regular season top goal scorer. Obviously, right now, Austin Matthews leads the way. He's got a minus 330 in the odds. But you can also take a look at Sam Reinhart of the Florida Panthers with a plus 650, David Pastrnak of the Boston Bruins with a plus 1,000, or maybe you can even go for Nikita Kucherov at a plus 2,500. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. Anyway, going into the third period here, Sagan with a really big hit on Bryson. That was really cool to see. And then he had a tip chance right after that. Foxa had a chance off the rush. Dallas goes on the power play. Quinn would trip Johnston. I thought that was another kind of weak call by the refs there. During the power play, they had some good puck movement, the Stars did. Mostly some point shots with some chaos around Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, but not really much to go from there. Smith would have a tip from a Harley point shot, and it hits the post and stays out. That looked like the fourth goal there. It would not be. Dallas would go on the penalty kill. Smith would take a hooking call on Thompson. That was another bad call, in my opinion, and Thompson was 100% holding on to Smith's stick. And I really wish that they would allow refs to kind of go back and look at even those more often and be like, oh, yeah, he's clearly holding the stick. Okay, all right, Thompson, you're in the box. And okay, Smith, come on out. I don't know. I would like to see them be able to have that ability to do that because it was a terrible call. Dallas would go on the penalty kill again because Miro would take a cross-checking penalty, and then we talked about that. His glove goes up into the crowd, and that's the first game misconduct of the season for anybody in a Dallas Stars sweater. Tuck would have a chance on the broken play during that power play while Stankoven is in the box serving it for Miro. Buffalo tries to go off Otter from behind him, and tries to bank it off him. It doesn't work. Duchesne would have a chance. Sagan would have to have a chance off the face-off. It was a good shift by that second line of Sagan, Marchment, and Duchesne. They continue to be good. Suter would have a really good poke check D play with about 5.5 minutes left. Robo would have a shot off the rush. It was some beautiful passing. And it was, of all people, again, Ryan Suter driving the net. I would have never guessed that. Never in a million years. Buffalo would pull the goalie for the extra skater. Nothing would happen of it. Dahlin tried to get to the icing. He did with 0.2 seconds remaining. Hens would win the faceoff. Game's over. Dallas gets their first 50-win season since 2015, when the last time they won the Central Division, and also the last time they won the Pacific, the Western Conference. So they've got 10 wins in their last 11 games, and they're really starting to look good down the stretch here. So y'all let me know in your comments, in the comment section down below. I'll kind of go over some of y'all's comments here, and we'll wrap it up with a biggest winner, biggest loser. So Zachary Mitchell, the Rangers, they play the Islanders again, and then they play the Flyers and the Sens. So the Sens have been decent as of late, and because the Islanders beat the Rangers recently, I wouldn't necessarily say that that's an easy schedule. The Islanders are going to be looking to continue to stay in the playoffs, and they've been good down the stretch the last, you know, 4 or 5 games here. So we'll see how that goes. Would like to see a Kings loss tonight. I have no idea how that game is going. Let me look. The Avalanche are destroying the Wild, and the Kings are tied right now 1-1 at the time of this recording. It's 10:23 Central Time. So there's your answer to that question. Harrison with a question. If the Stars clinch, do they sit out key players to rest the final two games? I don't think so. I think if you have any reason to play to increase your standing in the playoffs, then you do it. I think we're going to see all the players from the Dallas Stars. The exception might be anybody who is resting kind of a nagging injury. So, for example, Tyler Seguin, maybe we see him just like we saw Maverick Bork get called up, and maybe that happens. That would be the only thing I think of. And mostly because the Stars still have a chance to win the President's Trophy. So I think that Pete DeBoer is not about that kind of thing. So we will definitely see what he does, but I don't think so. Nate thought the Sabres' second goal was luck too. Yes, absolutely. And it was not a good goal that Ottinger normally gets up. Mato, congrats to Pete for his first 50-win season. And they kind of talked about that during the broadcast, but it is crazy that that's his first 50-win season, considering how much success he has had as a head coach. It's not like he hasn't been in the playoffs a whole bunch. He definitely has. Ardell over here, Dallas limited Buffalo shots after the first 9 minutes. Yes, that is absolutely true, because they did not play very well that first 7-8-ish minutes of the first period. So very nice to see the Stars do. And that's something that has been kind of a change ever since Tanev has been in the lineup for the Dallas Stars, is the shots per game for the Dallas Stars. Let me rephrase that. The shots per game from opponents against the Stars has been very low. And it's been about 4 or 5 shots lower per game than before Tanev got here. So I think it was like 29.6 before Tanev got here. And since Tanev has been here, it's like 25.2 or something like that. Somewhere around those numbers. It's been very, very impressive. And I mean, that's how you don't allow goals. Don't let them shoot. Block the shots. So, all right. Mato, I thought Robo was going to drop the gloves a few games in a row. Now, that would be interesting to see. I don't think he's ever been in a fight, to be completely honest with you. Got to go. Listen in the morning. Men and women, great win. TCB, baby. Go Stars. Ryan, you was about come unwound. Couple those losses. Yes. Oh, okay. So you're talking about specifically the Florida loss and how I was feeling. Well, I mean, do you completely blame me? Like, they had a terrible loss against the Florida Panthers, who it was, a big emotional game going into it. It was, you know, very much talked about with the national media, with the Stars media. And then they lead early. I think it was 2-0, 3-0. and then they allow like 5 goals. It was, you know, 5 unanswered or something like that, and they lose the game the way they did. And then they turn around and lose to New Jersey the way they did, and Otter was terrible. So, yes, you are completely right, but I think I was still validated in my feelings and how I felt about the team at that point. Right now, no, there's no chance. They have played excellent since that stretch. Very similar to like the Nashville Predators, by the way. Nashville Predators got destroyed 9-2 by the Stars. And since that game, they went 16-0-2 after in the 18 after that. So they've been excellent. Essa and Tanev, I tried to combine both of those names there, both helping produce offense. Yes, and that's been something that's been interesting to see, considering you would expect both of those guys to kind of be the defensive shutdown pairing for the Dallas Stars. And Ardell in agreement with there and saying that both were good tonight. Connor, our resident Vancouver Canucks fan who comes along and asks questions every once in a while. How you doing, Connor? So, Ryan, got to ask, do you want the President's Trophy? Of course I want the President's Trophy. I don't care about the curse. The last time the Stars won the President's Trophy, we won the freaking Stanley Cup. So that does not bother me in the slightest bit, even though it has had some recency bias and that teams that win the President's Trophy don't do well. But it is what it is. I don't really care. Okay, Harrison, I think they are preparing for Yanni to some back in and see if there are other options than Yanni playing with Suter. And okay, so that's going back to my comment about Pete DeBoer experimenting with the D pairings a little bit. That's a very good point. So maybe we could see Yanni go back with Essa and we see Suter and Tanev maybe. I don't know. I think that pairing could work. I just think that he plays really well with Essa. I just don't see a change there. But again, that's very possible, Harrison. That's a very good point there. Motto, they're getting ready because they go to the Cup Final every year. So I'm sure they get an earful from us faithful if it happens. Laugh out loud. There are some very good comments there. Nate, Locked On Fantasy Hockey has been showering the Stars in love for like 2 weeks. Well, do you blame them? That we are absolutely one of the best offensive teams in the NHL. And then lately, our defense has been excellent as well. And our goalie has been excellent as well. Minus one goal. I mean, I don't blame them for it. And I love to see the love that they're getting from a bunch of people right now. Okay, Ardell, we're going to open that bag. Okay, Nils was solid tonight. He was. He was much better than the game against the Colorado Avalanche, and he actually got to play stuff in the third period. So that kind of shows you that he had a good game today. Both those hooks were stick holds. Yes, absolutely, Ardell. Joe Baker, yeah, didn't really notice Nils, and that's not a bad thing. Yes, and I say that about Suter as well when that's been something about Ryan Suter that we have been seeing less and less and less of because we've been so focused on Yanni Hakanpää, and he's kind of been the whipping boy for the Stars fan base now. Now all the hate is off of Suter and it's on Yanni Hakanpää because Suter has been playing better. So that really sucks. I don't think that, you know, Yanni Hakanpää kind of deserves that, but it is what it is. So, oh my gosh, there's a lot of comments that I've missed. Just Jules. I worked for the Stars when we won the Stanley Cup. That is awesome. I would love to talk to you, Jules, about that because I think I was 6 when that happened. And the other two boys who do this podcast with me, Chris and James, they weren't even born when they last won the Stanley Cup. So very cool there. Just a couple more comments about the whole Suter, Nils, Hakanpää thing. Top 5 D-men can carry the weight. Yes, Ardell, but I still don't want to see that because I want to see the Stars do what Vegas did last year. Because I don't think it needs to be as spread out as it was because it was very spread out for the Vegas Golden Knights. But I would like to see that number 6 defenseman still play a little bit more. But on the flip side, you know, it's working. It's working with Nils Lundqvist only playing, you know, 8-9 minutes a night, sometimes 12 if it's kind of a blowout game. Nah, so why am I complaining? I don't know. Maybe it'll work in the playoffs still, but I would just like to see Nils from a, you know, just from a personal standpoint for me, I would like to see him play a little bit more. I don't know. So we will see. But Harrison, I think Suter has quietly had his best season in a Stars uniform. That is absolutely true. And he's been way more consistent this year than he was last year. We saw down the stretch, especially when they had some injuries last season, that he played very well. And even in the playoffs, he took his step up. But then we saw him kind of fall back to earth a little bit towards the end of the playoffs, especially in that third round. So let's see. Brooke, how much has the podcast grown this year? Okay. I guess I can go ahead and go into the numbers with you real quick, and then I'll do biggest winner, biggest loser. We're getting to 30 minutes here. When we started this season, we were about 120 downloads per episode. So that doesn't seem like a lot, but there are a lot of podcasts that don't even get up to the 10 to 15 to 20 download range. So the fact that we're there is excellent. Just to kind of give you an idea, that game against the Colorado Avalanche, we had over 250 downloads. So it has grown tremendously this season, especially not necessarily in the live streams, but especially in the people who listen afterwards. So again, all those of you who are listening afterwards, thank you. I appreciate y'all who are listening live, though, too. Y'all are crazy staying up this late with me to talk about a game that didn't necessarily matter all that much. Okay. All right. Y'all continue going on with your comments. I love seeing them. I always go through them afterwards and just kind of reminisce on it too. So anyways, biggest winner, biggest loser here tonight. I don't see how you can't give it to Wyatt Johnston. I'm just going to do it again. 32 goals. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous as a 20-year-old. He leads a Stanley Cup contending team. And it might even be a team that wins the President's Trophy, and it's being led in scoring by a 20-year-old. That is ridiculous. He is an absolute ridiculous stud. Okay, Brooke was reading my mind there. Yes, he is an absolute stud when it comes to this season. And, I mean, does he score 40 goals next season? I wouldn't have thought that at the beginning of this season, but goodness, he is an absolute stud, and he's ours for a long time, and he's going to get paid. He's absolutely going to get paid. He's $8-9 million after next year. He still has one more year on his deal at less than $1 million. He's a steal. That's the other crazy thing about these entry-level deals for these guys who get signed. They get less than $1 million against the cap, and in Wyatt Johnston's case, he's leading the Stars in scoring. It just ridiculous. He's the Stars' best player. He's the MVP of this, of the season, and he deserves it. Biggest loser tonight? I don't know. I guess I'll go ahead and give it to the Sabres fan base, and not because they're terrible people or anything. I'm over it. They still complain about the whole 1999 triple overtime goal. It was a goal. I'm not going to explain it again. All right. But I do feel bad for them. Like, they have not been in the playoffs since 2011. I think it was the last time that they were in the playoffs. And it wasn't even like a deep run at all with that particular team. And I think Jason Pominville was on that team. And he's been out of the league for years now. So I really feel the grief that they feel with not being in the playoffs. It reminds me of that stretch when the Stars were bankrupt, and it just wasn't fun to watch the Stars. So, man, I can't even imagine trying to do a podcast like this during that period of time. Can you imagine how terrible that would have been, you know, listening to a podcast with, you know, oh, it was really close, and okay, no, we're just perfectly mediocre, and we're owned by a bank, and they're not willing to get the team any better. So, I don't know. It really sucks. It really sucks for that fan base, but it is what it is. It was a goal. It will continue to be a goal. And anyone who says otherwise is a loser and doesn't know what they were talking about. At the time, it was a goal. Nowadays, maybe not so much. It was a goal at the time. That's it. That's all I got. Anyways, guys, thank you all for listening live. For those of you who have been, we've had up to 62 here tonight. Speaking of growing, these live streams have been ridiculous. I remember when we only had like 5 who would kind of be on here at a regular basis. And now we have 62. 62 is ridiculous. Thank you, guys. Seriously, thank you, thank you, thank you. And also thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. Use that promo code THPN. We'll be back with you guys again on Thursday when the Stars take on somebody. I don't even know at this point. Along with nobody tonight, I'm all by myself. My name is Ryan. You've been listening to Starcaster Remarks. Hope you guys have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening. In the words of the patriarch himself, my father, the Sabres are going to continue to be the Sabres. GG, boys.